And we're going to go. Good.
Sweet.
Okay. I'm at Philly Bike Expo. Who are you?
My name's Ava Kloiber, and I am with Liberation Fabrication.
Okay. You're here at the SRAM. What's the name of the program again?
It's a SRAM, I think, with the Philly Bike Expo Inclusivity Scholarship.
That's what I was thinking
of.
Yeah,
okay. That's the one.
So you got part of that, and there's a whole element to all that, but you can maybe tell me what you feel about your participation in that, and then we can talk more about bikes.
Yeah, so I think I'm very grateful for what SRAM and Philly Bike Expo put together through this scholarship. I think they've recognized that the bike industry and frame builders, maybe in particular, like tend to be a more homogenous group and are trying to push for inclusivity through that. And
but how about your particular entry into that? Like, sure. I get that program, but like, this is you. You're an individual.
Yeah.
Like, what's your thing here? Within that.
Yeah. So as an individual, like, I'm a trans woman. Not a ton of folks in the bike building world, though we're seeing more folks come out and like come into that world, which I think is great and exciting. And so I'm a pretty new builder. Just been building for really like a year and a half, and I think it's something I applied to the scholarship like on a bit of a whim. And was really excited when they chose me. I think I feel honored to be here and really excited about that. I wouldn't be here otherwise, and I feel like it would probably be like, you know, another 3 years to like get to this point if I didn't have someone giving me the help to do that.
It's a real boost, right?
Yeah, it's huge. It is immensely meaningful, and even if like, you know, no new business comes out of this, it's just like the personal feeling of being here and being a part of this is huge. It's like, yeah.
I didn't grow up in a world that was quite so inviting to anyone, even though we're mostly all dudes.
Right.
Like, it was pretty much a fuck you, stay out kind of mentality for everything, and it's like we have a different world now.
I think that's huge. I think, yeah, inclusivity is more than just, you know, looking at identities. It's being welcoming and being welcoming to everyone and just, like, coming in with an open mind versus kind of, like, that exclusive mindset.
Okay. So then there's your story. Why do you play with bicycles?
Oh, I play with bicycles because they're cool. I mean, they're, to me, a bike is a tool of joy and a tool of empowerment. A bike lets me accomplish things that I couldn't accomplish on my own. Like, on a bike, I can ride 100 miles in a day. Like, I couldn't do that on my own 2 feet. And, like, on a bike, I can, you know, go across town to, like, the fancy-schmancy grocery store and get, like, you know, the nice cuts of meat or a good, like, set of sausages or go to PenMac and pick up some good pasta.
Okay, where are you located at? Where's your life centered around?
Yeah, I just moved from Seattle to Pittsburgh. And so I'm exploring the city there, mostly on bike, and it's been really cool.
I've been hearing really good things about Pittsburgh lately.
Yeah, it seems to be like a bit of an up-and-coming city. It has a lot of things going for it. It's like pretty affordable, all considered. It is surrounded by beautiful nature, has like gorgeous parks in the city. And to me, it's like someone who just, you know, marries like industrial spaces with like art and creativity, like there's a lot going on there. I think it's really blooming in that regard.
So the bike in front of us, I assume you made it for the show?
I did, yes. Yeah.
And based on what I'm seeing, it's kind of a mix of several different ideas within the bike space. It looks a little bit urban. It looks a little bit bike pack adventure, and it looks a little mountain bike mixed in together all at once. Everything all at once, all at the same time, right?
That's exactly what I'm going for. Yeah.
Is this how you ride a bike? Is this your kind of vision of a bike? Like how you want to see it?
This bike, I mean, I would be lying if I said part of it didn't come about after receiving the scholarship and being like, okay, what does SRAM have on their table that like I can kind of play with here? Like, I've never run, you know, electronic shifting or had, like, a fancy SID fork or anything like that, but...
I haven't either.
I
well, no, I've had fancy forks, but I still can't do electronics. It's just too pricey for me.
Yeah. Same here, although riding this one, I'm like, oh, no, I'm ruined on it. Like,
yeah, the first taste is free, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I'll get another one unless they give me more, but it's good to start out. But, yeah, going back to the bike, I think the idea of it is this is a bike that wants to be ridden maybe longer and faster and just like pushes you to go those distances. It's kind of built with long mountain bike races in mind, kind of like Tour Divide, like what was it, Great Divide mountain bike race, or like the Eastern Divide Trail, which I think just got published. Things like that, kind of pushing you to go longer, further, faster, lighter, and yeah, supporting you along the way.
Do you participate in events like that?
Aspirationally, I'm working up to it. I think in my life I've had less free time recently, and so that just hasn't been a reality of like taking a month off to go ride that sort of route, but I'm trying to reprioritize things so that events like that might be more possible.
Is your entry, or so I try to find out what people are about,
yeah,
right? And it's like, is your place where you're kind of coming from, is it from sport or from utility, really? Like, at the heart of it,
yeah,
are you an urban utility rider that has gotten into these other things versus a lot of other people here might be, they were athletes and then they got into this. And it's like, kind of like finding out where you're stemming
yeah
through.
I think that's a really good question, and kind of, I did a lot of reflecting on that when I first started building. What am I doing? Like, what fundamentally is this? And I think the thing that came out with is that I'm making mobility tools. And to me, that's kind of looking at like the spectrum of like a wheelchair to like a high performance racing bike and being like, these are two things that allow people to accomplish more than like their body would like innately be able to do. And so I like to think about that in relation to both like mobility through an urban space. Like, you have like a cargo bike that lets you like carry so much stuff. You could never do that otherwise. That's really cool. But then you also have a bike like this that allows you to go great distances over rough terrain. And that's fundamentally a mobility tool as well. And so that's kind of how I think about my designs. And moving forward, I think I want to focus more on like the inclusive aspect of that, designing for body types that haven't always been represented in the cycling industry.
So it's bionics.
Bionics, yeah, prosthetics. Like the bike fundamentally connects you to the ground in a way that, you know, a prosthetic limb would do a similar thing.
But also, as somebody that's talking about inclusivity, representation, and a member of an unrepresented group type of thing, just like Americans or people generally view their cars as an extension of their personality, a bicycle does that too, and you say a lot by the bike you ride.
Exactly.
And you get to participate in sort of being, I guess is the right word, couture?
I'm not sure what couture like really means.
Fancy fashion clothes.
Fancy fashion clothes, yeah. I mean, I think that's a huge part. I think it should be beautiful. I think if you have this object that is like propelling you through the world or giving you mobility, like it should be a reflection of yourself, and it should, I don't know, represent one's individuality. And I think that's, I mean, a great thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, like the Spartan tool that like is chiseled for its exact purpose. It can be a thing of beauty that is also useful.
Okay, one thing let's go to the bike. Let's get over here so I can see better. Now, you said that you're about a year and a half into building bikes.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so generally what we've seen in the past is people start with sweet fixies, and those are essentially the very easiest bike in the world to build. Then they work to road bikes, maybe a cross bike. Then they might get into maybe a mountain bike if they ever get there. And then if they've really reached the pinnacle of difficulty, a fat bike or a full suspension bike.
Yeah.
Now, here you are at the show, and you're showing a mountain bike clearance type situation, larger rear tire, and a suspension fork, and a bent down tube, and a bent seat tube, and a semi-yoke, and rocker dropouts, and a painted rear metal fender. It looks like metal. Now, that's generally not 1 year, 1.5 year in type of hurdles. You're doing a lot of hurdles all at once here. Tell me about that.
I have been really fortunate to have a lot of resources and mentorship along my way, and I think that is probably a reflection of this. I shared shop space with Smith, who does Rat King frames, and he's been a great support along the way of, like, I want to do this thing. I'm kind of banging my head against it. I'm like, Smith, like, how have you done this in the past? Like, we collaborated to make a special, like, yoke for a friend who wanted, like, a track lacrosse frame. He wanted to fit 48 tires on, like, a track chain line. And I was like, boy, that's a weird idea. But we made it on this, like, CNC. Like, we worked together and collaborated on that. And I think everything here is a product of this collaboration. Like, the yoke I have is from Joe at Cobra. The bend's also from the Cobra 2 bender. I went through a few iterations of the down tube. I kept getting, like, wrinkles on it, and I talked to folks online.
So you bent your own down tube?
I bent my own down tube,
That's real.
Yeah, it's something. And it's, like, it's not easy, you know? Like, when it works, it works. And when it doesn't work, it looks really bad. And so I got a little bad-looking down tubes in my parts bin. But it was something that, like, through, like, the Instagram community, you know, I would post something and be like, hey, my down tube looks nasty. And someone would be like, oh, you know, here's the technique I've used for doing that. Here's, like, the way that you can, like, coax it back a little bit. And through that collaboration and through sharing information, I was able to build something that looks like this.
Now, I talk a lot about CAD and geometry. I don't know if you know who I am, but I'm really into all that, the numbers and the drawing. What are you using when you're designing at this point in your development?
So I kind of grew up using SolidWorks for all my designs. That license is a bit pricey, so I'm using Fusion 360 now. And so, like, I am, I guess, like, a native speaker of CAD, so, like, that is my preferred way of designing. And I tried using BytecAD, and I found it very frustrating because I couldn't put in all the dimensions I want. And so, yeah, Fusion 360 is the way for me.
Cool. That's interesting to hear. It's nice to hear another person that wants to do 3D work and all that sort of in a real parametric environment and stuff.
You lose a lot of flexibility, like, when you go into that more constrained ecosystem. But it's a lot simpler, and I think for a lot of people it gets them what they want. But if I'm doing a custom yoke, you know, I want to be able to model that myself. I want to be able to see how it interferes with other parts. And yeah, there's not really any other way to do that other than full parametric CAD.
Sure. I mean, I use both. I see a lot of value in both and bounce back and forth a lot, but certainly there are definitely limitations with BytecAD, but it's really quick and easy for what it does really well.
Yeah.
And there's great reasons to use a parametric solid modeling package, but it's a real pain in the ass and maybe not the best for just throwing something up, making something happen.
I would definitely agree with that. There's, like, I guess you could look at it as, like, a prototyping stage or, like, a fit stage, and yeah, you kind of get valuable tools and insights from each package.
There's a discussion about if you wanted to ask advice for how to get involved in doing something, you should never, as a novice, you shouldn't be asking the person that's the best in the world, because they've already forgotten everything you're experiencing. You're a year and a half in. You've just dealt with, in a way, many of the real construction and design difficulties that any bike builder is going to face, but your wounds are still fresh. If you were talking to a novice builder or someone just getting started, what would you tell them from where you are now about this process that might make it easier or smoother or at least something to think about while they're crying into their beer?
I mean, I think the advice that I needed to hear is to just slow down, and that everyone has, like, any problem you've had, someone else has had that problem. And there are people out there who will help you. You just need to, like, ask for that help. I think it's interesting to look at bikes as a bit of, like, in the engineering sense, like a solved problem. Like, the double triangle safety frame is, like, kind of solved. Like, there are ways around it, but this is something that works really well. And, like, I think there's innovation in that space, but just realizing, like, you can just do it, it's fine. take a breath, like, take a beat, and, like, if something you're doing doesn't work out perfectly, that's okay. I don't know. I think, like, self-compassion maybe is the broad strokes of that.
Self-compassion is really hard for some of us.
It is. It's personally very challenging, yeah. But I think it's necessary, and I think, like, I don't know, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to make, like, some shitty bikes. You're going to, like, have some welds that, like, look really awful. But you gotta, if you're going to have good ones, you have to have some bad-looking ones.
Let's say you just had your worst day, and you got a bike back from paint, and it's terrible. For some reason, whatever you were trying to do,
yeah,
it fell on its face. Thus, you've fallen on your face. And you get that... I mean, it's that feeling we want to cry, or we actually do cry.
Yeah.
What... You know, since you're talking about self-compassion and everything like that, we need something in us that picks us up off the floor and gets back to fucking work. In your world, or what you see around you, what is very helpful for that you're on the ground crying and you just need to get back up and get after it? What? Give us some insight.
I mean, that hits hard because it's like, as like a small business and as a new person, like, I have a lot of ego tied up in this, and like, I don't want to, but ultimately one does. It's like hard to like push for success without that.
It's got your name on it in a way.
Yeah, it does. But I think that's a great question. I think to me, perspective and context helps a lot. Like, and having a shopmate who can be like, Ava, that's still great. Like, you know, someone else who can look at it and doesn't see the faults, you know, maybe sees the forest for the trees. I'm stuck in there looking at the nitty gritty, the small details. Someone who can be like, you still made something cool. And I can be like, yeah, it's not perfect. None of these things are going to be perfect. Like, if I made the perfect bike, you know, I'd quit because that's boring. Yeah, just recognizing that the small imperfections of this are what make a handmade product handmade. And, like, anyone who doesn't appreciate that should go buy a bike that's been, like, made overseas. Because, like, yeah, people who, like, weld day in and day out, they're better at welding than me. They're better at welding than I'm ever going to be. Like, titanium bikes made overseas, like, they're probably going to look better than mine most of the time. But mine are, like, handmade here, small batches, and that's what sets them apart.
To close out, where would you like to be, and it doesn't have to do with bikes or whatever, but, like, you're kind of a little fish in a big pond right now, and whatever, if you want to jump ponds or whatever, where would you want to be in 5 years? What would you want to be doing? Where do you go, oh, if this would be cool if it could lead to this? What is that?
I think, touching on what I said earlier, I'm really excited about the blend between bicycles and other mobility tools. I think that's my vision for the future, is heading in that direction, maybe taking technology from bikes into other tools for, like, urban mobility. I think I've been learning a lot about suspension kinematics lately and designing my own full suspension bike.
Kinematics is a really cool word. The kids love that one.
Kids love it. I hear all the youth talking about it.
The youth are talking about kinematics.
Go to, yeah, the Gen Z kids on TikTok, they're all talking about kinematics. But I think it's really interesting. I think I look at, like, rear suspension on a mountain bike, and I look at people who are using wheelchairs on, like, nasty sidewalks, and I think, can this technology be in there? Like, what does it look like to apply, like, mountain bike design principles to the urban environment? Those are all questions I want to explore more. I think there's a lot of interesting space around that, and I think trying to look in between the lines of what other folks are doing and find that little thing that nobody's really thinking about is what appeals to me.
That's great. I hope you have a great show, and I hope it treats you well.
Thank you. Great talking with you.